The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
I'm so grateful for my name tag. John, I think I've told the congregation this, that when I was in 10th grade, I fractured my skull. And so I know some of you go, well, that explains a lot. I got that. I got, okay, that joke's used up, all right? But the thing of it is, it's given me a terminal inability to remember names. Terminal, and things like your wife's birthday or anniversaries, things like that. It comes in kind of in waves. You know that thing where you go to meet somebody that you have been in your church 2 years, and then you turn and it functions there. So if I don't know your name, I really need this visual aid, okay, or something, write something on there. I love people's names. The Lord knows our names. I am not omniscient, and I am not perfect, and I love to see the names. So thank you so much for helping us with that. It's an answer to prayer that John and his beautiful wife do that, and I really appreciate what they do. Today I want to speak in the next 20, 25 minutes on prayer. And I said that in an ideal world, two emphases for this church would be small groups, and prayer. I think that the small groups provide the best opportunity to facilitate relationships and love and primarily fellowship. And then prayer is the engine. Many write of organization, constructs that make things more efficient, which are servant-oriented and make a better and more efficient church, and that's great. And certain systems and mechanisms and a machinery and computer-aided thingies, and that's all fine. But underneath everything we do, and our only hope ultimately is in the Lord, in a relationship with Him that has a two-way radio working. One is our desperate need for Him. Out of our brokenness, He ministers to us and helps us in our weakness. And then He graciously chooses to speak to our hearts through His word, by His spirit, by circumstance, by deep friendships, and the wonder of some plan that's going on behind the scenes where the tapestry is being sewn and only heaven can see the real design and we simply see the strings. So title for this sermon was stolen from a wonderful book by E.M. Bounds. And when I was a young man, a navigator came up to me, an Air Force officer, and he took two of us aside, Dr. Patrick Cavanaugh and myself, and he began to disciple us. And in this sense, and primarily two things, a love for prayer and a love for the Word of God and the memorization of the Bible so that we could meditate on the scriptures. And we walked with Lieutenant Colonel Shropshire for some years, and it changed our life and continues to change our life. And the place of prayer is really where the power is. It is not in all the administrative things, which are really born out of the spirit of prayer. That's the engine, that's the motivation. But everything in some way seems to come out of that. And my life, I am a rich man. I am rich in so many ways without going into all of that, which you hear week to week. But in certain areas, I'm not the richest guy. And I, because I'm, you know, a person that's trying to keep my finances straight, I wouldn't buy clothes. And some of you, you know, you nod and yes, we noticed for many years, you know. And wouldn't say anything, but holy smoke, don't come to my church. The guy up there looks like ridiculous. You know, if you look at the bottom of my pants, you know, they're worn through. It's just stupid stuff, I know, but it's a little bit embarrassing because you read about George Washington and how he always presented to the troops this image. Or Ronald Reagan came into the Oval Office. He was always perfectly dressed because he wanted to serve his people and be a good example. And I didn't always feel like that, so I prayed. Yeah, perfect timing. I see you, Ines. So I prayed that the Lord, we don't want to embarrass people here at this church who come in late. We would never do that. Holy smoke. I mean, come on. This is about you when you're not here. So I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is kind of ridiculous that I look this way. It is irresponsible of me for me to spend money on this. So I said, well, what should I do? And I just said, Lord, could you help me? And at Christmas time, that young lady in the back of the room like filled my life with these beautiful clothes because she had a loving concern. And here's the key. No one but the Holy Spirit spoke to her about that. She didn't have to do it. Well, I don't know. She just listened. We had another woman that listened many years ago. I'm going to say her name. Her name's Marilyn White. Marilyn, she's one of these Christians that gets all spooky on you, you know? It's. I'm sorry, I just need to tell the truth. And Andrew and Diana are the progeny of that family. They don't get so spooky, but Marilyn does. And she's always has her antenna up, Lord, Lord, what should we do, Lord? And she is one of the most profitable servants of the Lord you'll ever meet. She spent her life, her and her husband, Bob White, spent their life entertaining missionaries in their home and providing food for them and doing all these amazing things, and are intimately involved with a church ministry in Egypt, which is not the best place to be running a church right now. And our guy in Egypt has been kidnapped. He's had hot pepper thrown in his eyes. Just not fun. What she did once was listening to the Lord. She heard about this thing called Oxbridge in about 1998, some 15 years ago. And she prayed and sought the Lord. And all of a sudden, Melanie had been touched in a certain situation and with the desire to go to this place. But we had no money. This was not, you know, in the budget. And she sought the Lord about it. And all of a sudden, Marilyn and others here who I shall not name, unbeknownst, unasked for, not the old, you know, pray for me, I need a XYZ, which is kind of lame and don't do that. She sought the Lord, and these people came and said, we've got your ticket, we've got your scholarship, we've written for this, that, and they sent Melanie and one of my daughters to this crazy, crazy conference. Now, it's not for everybody, okay? Some of us, you know, are not real interested in the dreaming spires of Oxford. I got that, okay? But they were. And not only that, in God's providence, he collects this group of people around America that love this stuff, and they bring some of the foremost luminaries in the body of Christ to it. Like, remember Jack Kemp? Some of you may know him. A shining example of one great quarterback, okay? Straight up. Who lowered himself to become a United States congressperson and ultimately a presidential candidate. And he was one of our guys because he represented very well a Christian viewpoint in our United States government. Well, he was there at this thing, and Rick Warren and all these people, wonderful people, artists and people from the film industry, etc. And Melanie got to meet them and be part of them. And she brought her daughter with her. And the next year, in God's providence, her daughter was able to go to Oxford for a semester, and her daughter became a writer, and her daughter played soccer for Oxford, and she was a star there, and it was in the newspaper, and her whole life has been shaped by that experience to some degree, and Melanie's as well, because it was from that that she began to write books and inherited a dream after having 9 children. Her dream was always to teach college, and that is what she does. Now, how do these things happen? There is a sovereignty in the heart of God, a plan in place. We don't understand it, but it is on. And he has not only ordained what's going to happen in some mysterious sense that I don't want to get into, ordained the end, but also the means. And he allows us to put our tiny hands on the steering wheel of the universe. He talks to his people in meditation and prayer, and whispers to them what they should be praying for, where they should go, and what they should do. And when they're obedient, and even if they're not, he accomplishes his plan. There was a man named Elijah. James mentions him in the New Testament. Verse 13, chapter 5 of James. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah, listen to this carefully. This part is rich. Was a man with a nature like ours. What the Holy Spirit is saying, he was just a guy. Just one more flawed human being. But he was a receptor, a resonator with the Spirit of God, a tuning fork for the Lord to play in. Elijah, it's like this, like we all should be. He had his antenna up. And yes, there was a special and unique call on his life, but not only that, he listened for the voice of the Lord. I just must say, as a pastor and teacher, once again, and I'll repeat it endlessly, do not only be one way in your conversations with Christ. I have had the wackiest things said to me by people who go, the Lord told me to say this to you. And what you learn over the long haul of life is, as Dr. Morey often indicates, he's got to say it to you. Don't be controlled by, you know, pastors like me or spiritual potentates or Sally Sue in third grade and what her prophetic unction says you should be doing. The Holy Spirit will confirm what he is doing in your life through his methods. He'll do what he wants, but do not, knowing all the craziness and all the people who want a pastor, everybody wants their will in the church. I remember George H.W. Bush talking about he could not obey whatever it was, 535 strong-willed people, speaking of the Congress and the Senate. There are decisions that have to be made, and everybody has an agenda. All 300 of you have something you would like better, tweak this and that. And so the elder's job here at the church is to sort through all of that and hear ultimately what the Lord is saying and listen very carefully and lovingly to how we can serve you. That's our job. And then speak well to you. Now, James here is saying that prayer is important. It's vital at the very points of pressure in our life. If anyone is sick, let him pray. If anyone's suffering, let him pray. Confess your sins if you want to be forgiven. Pray, ask the Lord as we did this morning. The prayer of a righteous man has power as it is working. Elijah was a man with like nature as ours, and he prayed, here's a key too, fervently. Now the Bible says, Jesus said, God does not hear you because of your many words, but he does love your importunity. I'm a fat old athlete and a coach. And I will listen to the words on this of Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he became Mr. Universe because of consistency in his workouts and persistency. Consistency and persistency. And prayer is just like that. The Lord loves you and wants to have a relationship with you, and he likes to hear your voice. He doesn't need it. He is sufficient in himself. But he loves to hear your voice, and he loves to be the still small voice that speaks to you. Now, in 1 Kings 17, now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe, and let's start this. He prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. What the Bible seems to be saying here is one man with the same nature as ours prays, and he is able to change his world. As a receptor of the Lord's holy word, the Lord says, I will do what you say. I will speak to kings through you. I will shake up your land. Your land has a problem. There's an evil king. There is an evil queen. They're destroying my people. My people aren't listening. They're following false gods, Baal, the god of thunder and lightning and rain. They think he's in charge. They think that's a reality. I want you to show them what's real. And he speaks to the heart of one man. And that man prays and tells the king, and the faucets that Baal is supposed to control shut down. Gone. And the prophets of Baal are defeated in a mighty moment of divine power. They're all destroyed as God sends his judgment on a land. And then Elijah prays when the drought is greatest, and he sees a tiny cloud in the distance, and the skies begin to form darkness. He prays 7 times the number of perfection. speaking of the Lord in all his glory and his perfections, and that he is not speaking to Baal or to other foreign gods. He's speaking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and saying, oh God, bring the rain now. And a tiny cloud is seen in the distance, and it drifts towards them, and all of a sudden, the earth is filled with the glory of God in a watery deluge that makes the plants to grow, and the wonder begin. Now, what is your need? What do you need in your life? Need. He's promised to meet it. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. Not your fantasies, not your selfish desires, but your true and real need. I need to be loved. And that's a need humans have. I need food and clothing for what I do. I need money to care for my children. The Lord of glory knows you need these things and will move, but he longs, let me say that again, he longs to have a relationship with you, a relationship with you, and love you more than that boyfriend in class 6, period. Or the husband who didn't love you enough. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are poised to have this love relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Melanie and I have seen his hand over a lifetime. You know what I love about Elijah? Elijah, in a sense, is Batman. He's not Superman. He's a normal guy. I think we all love Batman. Come on, let's be honest. I don't want to ask who your favorite superhero is this morning. I'll leave that to Chris. But honestly, a lot of us would say the guy without the superpowers, because maybe I can be like him or her. The guy without the superpowers. But you don't need superpowers if your best friend is Jesus. If your best friend is Jesus. Because he will provide all you need. He prayed fervently with consistency and persistency. The scripture says men always ought to pray and not to faint. And he changed his world. Let me do a short litany of crazy things the Lord's done in my life, very briefly. We'll give you the long story another day. Some of you will remember some of these. But for me, as a child, and in the structure of my life, these were so valuable. I was a kid that was an underachiever. They should have medicated me. They should have shot me up with some kind of drugs to bring this under control. My mind just went like this. Looking at school books was torture for me, torture. Torture, not much of an exaggeration. And I always was an underachiever. I like green fields. I like playing games. That's all. Forget the other stuff. I loved history. I loved to learn things, but I was a terrible student in a sense, in a relative sense, pretty terrible. And I could not control myself. I could not fix the problem. There was nothing I could do in and of myself. And when I became a Christian, I prayed. I prayed, oh God, I'm not a very good witness. You know, is a 1.2 average your first year in school? Is that impressive? There's that born-again Christian. He's like a lot of the other ones. He's on academic probation at the university. And I couldn't pick myself up. But when I came to Christ, that was the beginning, and my grades doubled. You know, you double 1.2, you're at a 2.4. Fabulous. Whoa. Thank you, Gary. You know what I'm talking about. And then basically they doubled again because of Jesus, because he answered my prayer, because he did something supernaturally and strange without getting into it. Those of you that struggle like I did, pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you with all that he is. What is the problem you have? It is soluble in Jesus and by his power and through his stripes. My brother was blind and epileptic. Everything wasn't healed. Everything didn't become perfect. But I, in a Bible study, prayed, and when I was a young man, he had fallen over, he had broken his jaw in several places. Just a horrible situation, and he was going blind. And I cried out to the Lord as best I could. May I just say that the blindness went. The jaw healed. Things got better, and today he's in his right mind. He loves two children, and God brought him a godly wife who prayed to receive Jesus Christ and gave her life. So grateful, and they both know the Lord. And then the other side of my family that had a strong atheistic yearning, just in the past year, well, I got to pray with my Marine, you know, Ryan, the guy that died in Afghanistan. I got to pray with him to receive Jesus Christ. And Chris was part of leading to the Lord and teaching him about the Lord to some degree. And his marriage went south. It fell apart. Humpty Dumpty couldn't be put back together again. But Christ spoke to his heart and he wrote to his wife, and you've heard this story. And he followed the Lord. His marriage was restored. His wife is a Christian. I got to pray with her to receive the Lord. I don't do anything, by the way. I am nothing burger. I cannot even tell you. But I'll pray a prayer with somebody. So she comes to Christ. Then my niece, Jeannie, who worked here, comes to Christ. Then Jeannie's mom comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Carolyn, my sister-in-law's mother, prays to receive Jesus, and I believe her father did as well. I may not have that one right. But something's going on that we didn't have anything to do. I don't live with them. I don't hang with them. Something's going on, and it is in response to, A, the plan of God, B, this communication. I can't. He can. I think I'll let him. One time I was in a temptation so powerful I could not possibly overcome it. It was a situation that I will not describe at this time. It's for another day. And I didn't know what to do, and I was going to send my life over a cliff. And I said, God, if you don't speak to me right now, I was not a holy roller. I was not some wild Pentecostal. I was just a newly born Christian. I said, God, if you don't speak to me right now, I'm going to do something very bad. I knew it was wrong, too. God had mercy on me that time. And at the very moment I prayed that prayer, very moment, and those of you that know me, and I have made some sacrifices in my life, so this is real to me, the phone rings. My friends from my Bible study in another part of the state call me, Bill, how are you doing? Bill, how are you doing? You know, and the idea is we felt led to call right now. And the second I stepped away from the temptation and I didn't fall and what might have been life and future threatening, poverty producing mistake. When I was a young man, we had no money. I would pray for watches. A watch would come from one person. That would fall apart. A watch would come from another person. A watch would come from another. I didn't have shoes to play soccer, but it was God's plan for me to play the stupid sport. And a guy would go, hey, Bill, how'd you like some shoes? Oxbridge. People came alongside Melanie. Here, you want to do this? One day a woman comes into the church, she's Islamic. She's very bright, very wonderful in her own way. She's looking for a job, she's scared, she's desperate. A Christian has come in, she brings her in the office. She's, I need a job now. I'm desperate, I'm going down. Okay, no problem. You know, that's what we do here, the employment agency. Holy smoke. I said, okay, the God who created you knows the answer. We prayed together right then and there, prayed for her somewhere in this thing to receive Jesus Christ. She probably doesn't even know what's going on. She goes out that week within a day or two, all the way around the Beltway, is hired by a guy in a very good, very high-paying computer-type job, high-paying to me, comes back to the church and says, I was hired by this man. Unbeknownst to her, that man went to our church. Just a little thing. But for her, it was a signpost of the reality of God. Another little couple came in one day. They were desperate, going under. He was a former accountant, etc. What will we do? We're going under. I said, well, let's pray, because I just had this experience. We pray. I think someone in the office that day weirdly hired that guy just for a moment in time and space, but it was the beginning of a number of dominoes falling to give him life and hope. When you pray, be specific. If you can, if you're more disciplined than I am, keep a journal and write it down. Melanie has all these stories that she jots down. She is an introvert. That's a good thing. She thinks inside. She's stimulated in the quietness and accomplishes so much in that world. I'm this guy. She is good at that. Take that introversion and use it. Make notes on what the Lord has done. They stand as standing stones when we sing that song that has Ebenezer in it. That's a group of stones that is a memory, a reminder of what God has done in the past in your life. I took a bunch of kids, and I'll end with this story. A bunch of little guys. We worked cleaning the church in the summers and mowing grass and all this, and we do Bible studies. And I said, because of what I experienced in Christ, I said, if you guys will write down a few things, you know, be very specific. Ask the Lord to fulfill them, things you really can't do. He'll do it. And I wrote down my watch at the time. That was my thing. All I remember, there were a number of prayers, and the Lord was gracious to answer them in his time. But one boy was in utter poverty, Section 8 housing. If I told you his life, it was horrible. And I was so grateful to be able to be his friend. And he wrote down, and he was a very talented kid, this is the story, that he wanted a trumpet. Oh, great, a trumpet. You know, how's he going to get a trumpet? The end story is someone that summer, in response to prayer in a very short time, not someone that had heard anything, but he heard, he got that boy a trumpet, and he became a very fine trumpeter in a local high school band. There is power in prayer. There is a connection to the glorious one of the universe, the one who came and lived and died. And he said, it's expedient for you that I go to heaven. For I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. And he will lead you into all truth. He's the helper. Do you need help? What help do you need? If you're unbelieving, love you. So was I, total atheist. But he is only a prayer away. You want to have your intellectual questions answered? You simply say, God, if you're real, show me. I think that's a fair and sincere prayer. God, if you're real, show me. Most people that are out there somewhere won't pray that prayer. Have the intellectual honesty to pray. If he's real, he will show his fingerprints in your life. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit to this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. Lord, this is your family. There are needs all over this church, and I don't have the ability to do anything about it. But you do, Lord. You do. Help us, I pray. Help us, I pray. Charles Spurgeon said this, of course the preacher is above all others, distinguished as a man of prayer. He prays as an ordinary Christian, else he were a hypocrite. He prays more than ordinary Christians, else he were disqualified for the office he has undertaken. If you as ministers are not very prayerful, you are to be pitied. If you become lax in sacred devotion, not only will you need to be pitied, but your people also. And the day comes in which you will be ashamed and confounded. All our libraries and studies are mere emptiness compared with our closets. Our season of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle, that was his church, have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. And he's saying it wasn't because of him. It was because of a prayer answering God. Glorify thy name, we pray. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.